You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
From beautiful Portland, Oregon, it's the Dickenbach Report, starring Dick Dickenbach. Join Dick Dickenbach for a lively Sunday news magazine featuring music, topical discussions, and hard-hitting reporting you won't find anywhere else. Stay tuned for Dick Dickenbach, but first, today's musical theme.
Thank you. Good morning. It's about 10 minutes past 11. You've tuned in to the Dickenbach Report on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland. This Sunday news magazine airs every Sunday, of course, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Almost always we're hosted by Dick Dickenbach, except today he won't leave his bunker. Something has spooked him. Today is June 7th. It's the 158th day of 2026. There are 207 days left in the year. We began today with the musical report by the New Eves called Volcano from The New Eve is Rising. The music of which I'm speaking is by Interzone Orchestra. It's Eruption from Programmed. Today's show commemorates a natural disaster that began 35 years ago, the 1995 eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. Says the Wikipedia, the 1995 eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines' Luzon Volcanic Arc was the second largest volcanic eruption of the 20th century, behind only the 1912 eruption of Novarupta in Alaska. Eruptive activity began on April 2nd as a series of phreatic explosions from a fissure that opened on the north side of Mount Pinatubo. Seismographs were set up and began monitoring the volcano for earthquakes. In late May, the number of seismic events under the volcano fluctuated from day to day. Beginning June 7th, a swarm of progressively shallower earthquakes accompanied by inflationary tilt on the upper east face of the mountain culminated in extrusion of a small lava dome. So 35 years ago, we saw a lava dome on this day. On June 12th, the volcano's first spectacular eruption sent an ash column 12 miles into the atmosphere. Additional explosions occurred overnight and the morning of June 13th. Seismic activity during this period became intense. When even more highly gas-charged magma reached Pinatubo's surface on June 15th, the volcano exploded, sending an ash cloud 25 miles into the atmosphere. Volcanic ash and pumice blanketed the countryside. Huge pyroclastic flows roared down the flanks of Pinatubo, filling once-deep valleys with fresh volcanic deposits as much as 660 feet thick. The eruption removed so much magma and rock from beneath the volcano that the summit collapsed to form a small caldera 1.6 miles across. Fine ash from the eruption fell as far away as the Indian Ocean, and satellites tracked the ash cloud as it traveled several times around the globe. At least 16 commercial jets inadvertently flew through the drifting ash cloud, causing about $100 million in damage. When the ash fall came darkness, and the sounds of lahars are dangerous mud flows rumbling down nearby river valleys. Several smaller lahars washed through the Clark Air Base, flowing across the base in enormously powerful sheets, slamming into buildings and destroying and scattering cars. Nearly every bridge within 15 miles of Mount Pinatubo was destroyed. Several lowland towns were flooded or partially buried in mud. More than 840 people were killed from the collapse of roofs under wet, heavy ash, and several more were injured. Rain continued to create hazards over the next several years as the volcanic deposits were remobilized into secondary mud flows, damages to bridge, irrigation canal systems, roads, croplands, and urban areas occurred in the wake of each significant rainfall. Many more people were affected for much longer by rain-induced lahars than by the eruption itself. About 20,000 people were evacuated, 847 people were killed, and approximately 10,000 people left homeless. Huge destruction was left in the surrounding areas. So we thought, you know, let's do a report about volcanoes. So in addition to musical reports, we'll talk about some books and some movies. We'll have an interview with a volcanologist and commentary by our own Wayne Seconds. The phone line up here is 503-233-9729. That spells X-Ray. The text line is 971-220-KXRY. That spells 5979. To commemorate the 1991 eruption of Mount Pinatubo, it's a Dickenbach report about volcanoes. Here on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, xray.fm.
You shouldn't do a volcano. ground just bend you around and slave to its will. Love will take you to clouds
and have you dancing in the skies above.
Bend you back in your ground
to try in vain to find the one you love.
Volcano, love is like a volcano, but if you come to me, I'll just gladly be like a volcano. To me, I would so gladly be like a volcano.
Support for X-Ray comes from its members and from Edgefield Concerts, presenting the Canadian folk and bluegrass band The Dead South on their summer 2026 tour with special guests Amigo the Devil next Thursday, June 11th. Dead South and Amigo the Devil tickets at edgefieldconcerts.com and the box office the night of the show.
My heart is breaking like later.
breaking news. At nearly 11:30 in the morning, you're listening to the Dickenbach Report on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland. My name is Gary, sitting in for regular host Dick Dickenbach, who couldn't find the proper shirt for his show today. He was thinking Hawaiian, maybe, or Tahitian. On this day in 1991, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines began its eruption, so we're discussing and playing music reports today about volcanoes. That was the sixth volcano from Hyacinths and Thistles. Before that, G. Mr. Tracy, Lava Man, from Harmony, Rhapsody, Destiny. In the middle of that set, the B-52s, Lava, from their self-titled debut. We heard Billy Preston, Volcano, from R&B Meets Northern Soul, Volume 1, and a single by The Jets, Volcano, from 1953, started us off. Under My Voice, Jan Ackerman, Eruptions, from 10,000 Clowns on a Rainy Day. It's time to talk with Dick Dickenbach's favorite librarian. Her name is Carol. Carol, thanks for coming on the report.
Thanks for having me.
You were telling me something before we came on the air about how children really love disasters.
There seems to be this perennial interest on the part of kids in disasters, specifically catastrophic, horrible, deadly natural disasters and man-made disasters.
Do you think, therefore, they particularly like volcanoes?
I think there is a definite fascination with volcanoes. Fiery explosions and burning hot lava, that's just built-in excitement factor.
Well, what books are you going to report on today?
The I Survived series by Lauren Tarshis has not one but two volcano-themed books.
I would like to try to guess the volcanoes if I could. Is one of them Vesuvius?
Yes, one is Pompeii.
Is the other Krakatoa?
No, Mount St. Helens.
Mount St. Helens, really?
Yes!
So in this series, the protagonist is always a child. It's a Roman child who makes its way from the ruins of Pompeii and Herculaneum?
Yes, so a child survives the destruction of Pompeii, 79 AD. That's I Survived number 10. And the author revisits volcanoes just a few volumes later in number 14. There's not even a big gap between the two volcano books. And that's I Survived the Eruption of Mount St. Helens, 1980. They always have the year in the title of the book. Then also the Ranger in Time series. You may remember the time-traveling dog who helps those experiencing disaster throughout time. We get even another era of volcanic activity in the book Journey Through Ash and Smoke, in which Ranger is transported to Viking Age Iceland. Of course, Iceland noted for its volcanoes.
And you are noted for bringing many books to the report. What's next?
I have two more books. So this book is The Seismic Seven by Katie Slavinsky. Imagine, if you will, beginning with the natural phenomenon of a volcano, but if, for lack of a better term, a mad scientist tried to use this natural phenomena as a weapon. That's what we have with The Seismic Seven. Seven middle schoolers are brought to Yellowstone National Park. At least most of them have been told they've won a contest to study the supervolcano under Yellowstone National Park, which apparently is a real thing. They're going to get an opportunity to study with a renowned geologist, but twist, then they find out they're actually saving the world from this volcano. But double twist, actually they're not saving the world. They're being enlisted to help this geologist and her national park sidekick with their dastardly deed to actually encourage seismic activity to cause the supervolcano to erupt in a plot to destroy humanity.
Well, we don't want any spoilers, so maybe you should move on to the last book.
So this book is called Bubblegum Rescue. It's number 8 in the Candy Fairies series by Helen Perelman. Now, there's a whole mythology here about the candy fairies who reside in the candy kingdom. There's different kinds of candy fairies, so gummy fairies, caramel fairies, chocolate fairies, mint fairies, which mint on its own isn't candy per se. But imagine, if you will, instead of hot, fiery lava, a volcano were to erupt with hot, gooey caramel, because this is the candy kingdom. Sorry, not a caramel. Oh, I've made a grave error. A butterscotch volcano. Sorry. Clearly, a butterscotch volcano makes so much more sense.
Is a butterscotch volcano a threat?
Yes. Melly, a caramel fairy, discovers that there is a butterscotch volcano threatening the animals of Caramel Hills. Presumably the animals are candy too. I'm not certain about that. The candy fairies work together to protect the animals and their homes. And they use a candy adjacent material to plug up the crack in the volcano. It hasn't fully erupted yet. It's leaking butterscotch lava.
That's four more books you can add to your bookshelf thanks to Dick Dickenbach's favorite librarian, Carol. Carol, thank you for coming on the report with your book report.
Thanks for having me.
Is that the first time she hasn't confused me with Dick Dickenbach? Well, her head is always, you know, in a book. The phone line up here is 503-233-9729, which spells X-ray. The text line is 971-220-KXRY. That's 5979. I remind you that in 1991, around this time, 35 years ago, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines began to explode. So we're talking and playing songs about, musical reports today about volcanoes here on the Dickenbach Report. It's a commemoration. You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, xray.fm.
Scientific Films presents
Volcanoes,
Volcanology and You,
and Plate Tectonics.
Johnny and Sally don't know it, but they're standing on
they
a tectonic
together,
plate, moving over the viscous mantle of the earth,
like peanut butter,
all might rub it together in two halves,
and jelly,
a
you get two plates,
in pieces of converted plate
Ooh,
mountain.
They're getting crowded.
Which can cause magma to enter the crust.
Leads to eruption.
Hang on tight, Johnny.
And also to fault lines, which can be bad too.
Make sure Sally doesn't fall into that cold.
So in geology, bad is cool. They're simply made by an oceanic plate sliding over a hot spot, and you know that that makes sheer volcanoes. Don't wanna hurt nobody, except when the lava gets too close to the people who live on the coastlines. Sheer volcanoes.
suggests an unstable environment.
I'm Gary, alternative anchor here at The Report, reminding you that this extra hour of The Dickenbach Report is made possible by Bloat. From the makers of Sputum, Bloat cleans you out in more ways than one. Available where suspicious medications are sold and in your grocer's freezer.
Bloat, 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 bloat.
Thank you.
What do you call it when you get so stoned? Now you forgot it was Christmas Eve. Okay, no. It'll run on your TV. You'll bleed out here and it'll satisfy me. What do you call it? 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 What do you call it when you get so stoned? You're no longer in the zone. What do you call it when you get so stoned? You can't even hold your own.
Hello, news fans. It's about 10 minutes until noon. You're listening to the Dickenbach Report on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland. My name is Gary, not Dick Dickenbach. He has not returned yet from Black Diamond Bay, but we expect him shortly. On this day in 1991, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines began the eruption that would become the second largest volcanic explosion of the 20th century, so we're learning about volcanoes today. For example, in these past musical reports, that was Turbo Fruits, Volcano from their self-titled record from 2007. Before that, Guided by Voices, Volcano from Surrender Your Poppy Field. In the middle of that set, The Dead Milkmen, Born to Love Volcanoes from Beelzebubba. Central Services gave us Volcanoes and You from Central Services Presents the Board of Education. And we begin with Logan Whitehurst and the Junior Science Club, the Volcano Song from Goodbye, My Four Track. Under my voice is Duke Levine, the title track of his record from 1997 called Lava.
For this report about volcanoes, Dick Dickenbach reached out to his favorite cinephile Chuck to recommend a couple of movies to watch on this day. Chuck, thank you for being here. What are the films you're going to recommend?
Oh, hey, Dick. Thanks for having me again. The first one, I would say, just go with The Last Days of Pompeii from 1913, directed by Eleuterio Rodolfi. You know, it's mostly not about the volcano, but it kind of runs a little slow, so I ended up playing it on 1.5x speed on YouTube, and I didn't really care for the music they had, especially when the William Tell Overture started playing for some reason, so I realized it was just a mix someone had made. So I put on Engin de Poterin and played a few other songs along that vein. The volcano stuff at the end is pretty interesting, and it also has a lot of neat sets and some gladiator fighting and some lions, and some of the dance scenes were kind of neat, especially I could sped up a little with the music. The next film is A Journey to the Beginning of Time from 1955, directed by Carl Zeman. It's a story of four young lads who travel up a river that takes them back through time, and at the very end there's footage of volcanic lava flow and spew. It's kind of a neat movie, and I guess it's not very volcano heavy, but I just liked it, and it was on my list of films that I found on IMDb.
You know, Chuck, there's a film out there that's actually called Volcano from 1997. Starring Tommy Lee Jones. Is that a movie you'd recommend, or you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen that, but I have seen Dante's Peak, which I think came out the same year with Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton, and it's entertaining. I thought about mentioning that, but anyway, I thought maybe it was too well known, as well as Joe vs. the Volcano. That's another movie on the list that I like a lot.
Okay, well, tell us again the two films you recommended to Dick Dickenbach on this Volcano Day.
The Last Days of Pompeii and A Journey to the Beginning of Time. And I should say it's a Czech film, and it's also on YouTube. And I think it has subtitles, but it's got a lot of neat stop-motion animation. So even if you don't understand what's going on, it's fun to watch.
And I'll bet you have other recommendations. How can we find them, Chuck?
I made a list on my Letterboxd account under Robot Cat of films tagged on IMDb with Volcano.
He is Dick Dickenbach's favorite cinephile. Chuck, thank you for coming on the report today.
Always a pleasure, Dick.
I look like Dick Dickenbach insofar as every man, as he ages, starts to look like Dick Dickenbach. As I said before, Chuck and I used to work in a video store together. I remind you that the phone line up here is 503-233-X-RAY. That spells 9729. And the text line is 971-220-KXRY, which spells 5979. Again, we are commemorating the 1991 eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. This is the Dickenbach Report about X-Ray, about volcanoes. I remind you, you are listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland. That's at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. We stream online and on demand at xray.fm. X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, xray.fm. FM.